Again this morning, we'd like to welcome you, but we want to extend our welcome to those who will be listening in on the podcasted program. We're happy to be coming to you this morning from the Camden Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Camden, Maine, the little church between the sea and the mountains on the beautiful coast of Maine. We invite those who are listening, if you ever have an opportunity to travel to the coast of Maine to spend a Sabbath with us, we would enjoy your presence worshiping together. My name is Dan Fickett. I'm one of the local elders, and our program will be brought to us this morning by one of our younger visitors, Daniel Adams. He used to be a student here at the little church school that we had, and Daniel has gone on and gotten his pilot license and is flying now, and he'll be presenting to us some of the things that he's going to be involved in and is involved in. Much of our program this morning will be a video presentation, and those of you who are listening in on the podcasting will have to use your imagination somewhat, but we encourage you to do that. Our music this morning will be brought to us by Julie, Krista, and KK, and call for the offering this morning was made by Peter Robinson, one of our local deacons. At this time, we'll continue with our children's program and the children's story and the children's offering. Our children's story is going to be brought to us by Kelly this morning, Kelly Fickett.
Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. Our opening song today was A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And last month, we went on vacation to Virginia, and we went to see some caves. Have you guys ever been in any caves? I mean, big caves? Huge caves? The caves that we were in, we went to a place called Luray Caverns. And this is a picture of one of the caves that we saw. Now, these caves are big. Those caves, some of the rooms are 10 stories tall. You know how big that is? Well, I figured this room is about 2 stories tall, maybe a little more. These caves were 10 stories tall in these one rooms. We were almost 300 feet deep under the ground in these caves. And in one room, they had an organ. And this organ, it was a pipe organ, but instead of it playing notes out of the pipes, it would play notes by hitting the stalactites that were hanging from the ceiling. And they had different stalactites all around the caves that had the perfect pitch. And when they were tapped by a little rubber mallet, they would play a musical note. And they had that organ play, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which was beautiful, being down in this huge room so far underground and listening to that song. And one of the things that they did in this cave was they turned the lights off so we could experience total darkness. Now, when you're down in a cave, there's no light at all. The only lights they had down there were electric lights. When they turned them off, you couldn't even see your hand right in front of your face. It was really, really dark. And it reminded me that sin is like total darkness. You don't feel like you can see your way out. But as long as we love Jesus and love God and let him control our lives, we don't have to worry about complete darkness because God is our light, isn't he? So when you go and you go about your work and every your play and everything this week, think about how God protects us from having to experience the total darkness of sin. Okay? You can go back to your seats now.
Scripture reading this morning, I invite you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52, we're going to be looking at verses 7 and 8. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. May the Lord add his blessing upon the reading of his word. At this time, our ministry in music, Julie, Hirsta, and KK.
There is no problem so big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain so tall, he cannot move it. There is no storm so dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow so deep, God cannot soothe it. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, sister, that he will carry you. There is no problem so big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain so tall, he cannot move it. There is no storm so dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow so deep, God cannot soothe it. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. Shoulders. I know, my sister, that he will carry you. He said, come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. And I will give you rest.
Thank you very much, girls. KK, can I tell you a secret? KK's figured out how to look over this pulpit. She stands up on the little platform right behind it here. But she has to do it with her toes. That must get tiring. You did a beautiful job, KK. Thank you very much. At this time, we want to turn our program over to Daniel Adams. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I'm not exactly a preacher, so I'm not going to be preaching. This morning, the presentation I'll be sharing with you comes from Venezuela. I'll be reporting on some of what's been going on in Venezuela and how God has been guiding, and also some of my own personal testimony as to what's been happening since I last saw you guys a few, I guess it's already been a whole year. One comment for those who are listening on the podcast. We will actually be making this PowerPoint presentation available to you if you go and visit www.adamsamigos.net. There'll be a link there that will say something along the lines of Daniel's PowerPoint presentation or Camden SDA Church or something. Anyway, you'll find it there. It's a very simple link. And then you'll be able to follow the pictures that way. As many of you know, I graduated from Daystar Academy a few years ago. And then, Where should I start? Okay, while I was at Daystar Academy, we went to GYC, which, oh yeah, how many of you guys are excited about GYC? Yeah, I see a lot of hands. Awesome. Yeah, I'll expect to see you guys there too. I'll hold you to it. God has been blessing. The first time I ever went to GYC was there at Sacramento, and lo and behold, I ran into David Fernald. I was like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I just flew down here from Maine, and, you know, things are going well. And I was like, oh, well, that's nice. And they said, yeah, why don't you come up here and do some flying for a little while? And I said, well, why in Maine out of all places? He said, and he made an offer, and I said, sure, you know, I'll come up. So GYC was a good contact after I graduated from Daystar. That was awesome, very triumphant. Came up here and started flying. It was a dream come true. I was working as a lineman there at the little Frenchville or Northern Aristic Regional Airport. And it was a lot of fun. It was hard work, but it was fun. But started getting cold. So it was fun landing and taking off in the snow, but decided to go ahead and head back down to Venezuela. I was invited to go fly down there and continue my training there. Before I went, however, I stopped by. It was already time for GYC again. And this is GYC at the Chattanooga Convention Center. They mentioned the 28 buses. We went out and door-to-door. It was 1,850 youth went out and we went door-to-door. It was awesome. I mean, it was just incredible working with that large of a scale of youth that are on fire for the Lord. It is life-changing. As soon as that was over, I hopped on an airplane and headed down to Venezuela. It was quite a trip. It took several days. On average, it takes about 3 days travel in combination of airplane and bus. This is the last leg of the journey. You hop on a bus and start heading down. And finally, after 12 or so hours of bus ride, you arrive at this little tiny school. They call it Colgranza, and then also the little AMA base. I wish I had a little laser pointer or something. And there's actually a runway there. If you sort of see a brown strip sort of in the middle of the screen, that's the runway from the mission base. The view from our little kitchen there is sort of pretty. The area is known for having some of the most rugged terrain around. It's just incredible. That's just one of the many tepuis that are sticking up. That's what they call their mesas, if you will. The style of life down there is similar to that of other Latin American countries. However, it is just a little lower in some areas. They don't have as many resources as most Latin American countries. And there's a lot of need. They have a lot of need. which is why we work in that area. They have the International Rescue and Relief Team has actually started up down there. And that's where AMA works, which is Adventist Medical Aviation. This is a pretty neat picture here, this canoe with the yucca in it. You can see in the middle of the canoe, there's a thing of yucca, which is their staple food. That is what they eat for breakfast, lunch, and supper, and maybe they'll have some rice and lentils with it. And that's pretty neat. However, if you go right across the border into Brazil, you can do some wonderful shopping, and they have a nice variety of just about everything. And so that's where we did our shopping. And then we come back and preparing lunch. These are, instead of calling them huts, they call them churuatas. And so those are our churuatas. That's where we stayed for some time. The luxurious bathroom and my house and my home again. I liked it. Everyone else didn't like it, and so I got it. And actually, I liked it better than I would have ever imagined. This is heading out to one of the little villages. It's nice to have a vehicle with some ground clearance. We eventually made it through that one. And then, of course, there's Bob Norton. That is the pilot that I've been working with. He's been training me down there for the last... Well, he'd been training me for a few months there, and then also in Collegedale. I'll get more to that. Flying the patients into these remote little itsy-bitsy runways out in the middle of nowhere. how many of you can see the runway? There's not really much of one there. And actually, that's one of the nicer ones because there's not too many trees in the way except for at the end. You usually, if you do it just right, you can do it without hitting the building at the end, which is usually the way you go. This is another one of the fun little runways. Now, this is the home strip. This is the one that's nice and easy. It's actually, I think it's about 1,200 feet long, which is a whole, like, 300 to 400 extra feet. I mean, that's a long ways. gobs of room. Oh, yeah, they have a lot of interesting people there and bugs. Their grasshoppers are monstrous. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. That's Dr. Mike Durson. He's the director and founder, I would say, of the International Rescue and Relief Team and Group based out of Union College. Fortunately, we were there when this man cut his hand, and we were able to call the airplane in and take him in, get him taken into town so he wouldn't lose his hand. It was a pretty nasty cut. But that kind of accident happens frequently. Just because work, you know, accidents happen, and we are the only emergency system there. Just a little story about that is that not too long ago, you know how Venezuela and the U.S. has been having these little quibbles, you know, I guess Chavez and Bush aren't getting along so well. So that sort of has... had some negative impact on the people. The people have been needing, you know, evacuation services, you know, help get them out of the villages, you know, when they're sick or get medicines in and stuff. But the government has shut down all foreign agencies. All missionaries had to be shipped out. You know, all the other aircraft, I don't know, there was, I don't know, maybe 20 or so aircraft that had been running. They shipped them all out, you know, except for us. We are the only ones left. And that's only through an act of God. God has spared us. It's just incredible, the story. I don't know that I can go into detail, but basically, the Indians love us, and we live on the Indians' land, and the Indians say, okay, government, you can't come take our missionaries away. You know, this is our land, this is our place, we do what we want to with our missionaries. So, God really blessed. Flying into, after we flew into that little village with the IRR team, Awarauka, I think it was called, where the man cut his hand, we then caught a canoe and headed up the village for three and a half hours or so to a little place called Arepichi. Now here you can see, this is how we got our water on a regular basis. We filtered all our water and we stayed healthy. I was excited. I don't think even one of us got sick the whole time. And that's a first for me on a mission trip. Cooking was a lot of fun. You learned how to cook with very little and very simply. And it actually turned out to be quite amusing most of the time with our little experiments. Waiting for the canoe to show up. It's a classic story of what you'll find out there in the mission field or in a third world country. It's a syndrome called hurry up and wait. You hurry up because you're supposed to be there on time, and then you wait for a few hours for the ride to show up. And of course, if you are late, then the ride shows up on time and they get mad at you for not being there on time. So anyway, it's a lot of fun anyhow. Then we headed back up, doing some more travels, back down, taking care of the little kids. They have so many, most of them have parasites. Working with them, they all had parasites and they all want vitamins. It was interesting though, because I was a translator for them, and I was the only translator, and there was two doctors, two EMTs and one nurse, and so it was quite a challenge keeping up with all of them. And at the end of the day, or it was a 3-day trek I think we did, or ride, whatever you call it, up the river and down the river and visiting all these villages. At the end, when we left, we came across one of the physicians that had just started working in the area, and he was so grateful for the work that we'd been doing there. He said he just, you know, he wasn't ever able to keep up with them all, and he's just so thankful. And it was interesting translating because they were doing all this doctor terminology, and fortunately it all originates in Latin, which means that the words sort of resembled. It was nice, but other than that it was good. But anyway, the doctor was awesome. Because of the work of the airplane, it's interesting. Most of the work that the airplane does down there, or that we do down there, is not usually lay workers. We're not always doing pastors. It's not always evangelistic work. What we do is the medical part. Yeah, we take a few pastors every now and then, but most of the villages, when we first arrive, are closed. They don't want anything to do with religion. They want to just, you know, they just want to stay who they are, and they don't want anything new. After we've spent a few days and years and or weeks, years, whatever, after we've been there a while, they start asking more questions, and then pretty soon they want someone to come in and teach them how to live healthfully. Then after that, they want someone to come in and teach them more about the Bible and how to be happy. And it just totally opens up all these places that were completely closed before. I don't know the exact statistics, but I believe there's been over 400 during this last year that were baptized directly related to airplane. And it's just making a big impact on the area. That's one of the airplanes I liked. It's called an AN-2. It can carry a ton and a half and can take off fully loaded in about 800 feet. It has 1,000 horsepower engine. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. That's one of the airplanes that we've been gawking at, thinking about getting for that area. Dr. Mike Durson there on the left is thinking about getting a well drilling equipment, a portable well drilling equipment to go into these little villages, drill wells so that they won't get sick. That's one of the big problems. Most of the people that have illnesses is because of bad water. And so that's just one of the ideas that he's come up with. In between all these little trips, you know, going out to villages and working, we also did some other training, part of which was wilderness survival, working with the International Rescue and Relief Team. I helped translate. We climbed up Mount Roraima. That was fun. That's up the cliff. It's about a several thousand foot cliff. It's just a different world up there. It's fun. It was fun. It was a short trip, but it was fun. Venezuela is known as the land of waterfalls, of 1,000 waterfalls. It's just everywhere. This is Jasper Falls. Then back to training. They also do swift water rescue training, so we got a jump start on that and did some training there, practicing how to use the raft, go up the river, go down the river, and then how to walk up the river. And and then also with strainers, which is like if there's a log or something and you're floating down the river, how to avoid those, keep yourself from being a victim, how to go over them, and then back to flight training again. It was a lot of fun. We flew into Angel Falls, back little itsy bitsy strip, and it was a several day, that was about a several hour trip. It was a 2-day expedition, and we went up there and visited. With all these expeditions that we went on, some of the places were, I was never expecting to be actually, you know, I went along as a translator. I would translate for the students who went and whatnot, and they wanted to go see this and go see that. And lo and behold, there's these other tourists that came along. And I was thinking, yeah, whatever, you know, no big deal, you know, I'm just a tourist too, you know. It's, and then pretty soon they started asking questions about why we were acting a little differently. I was like, what do you mean we act different? And they're like, well, you don't eat meat, and you guys aren't cussing and swearing the whole time like most of the other tourists are out here. I'm like, well, yeah, it's because we're Adventists. And they're like, oh, really? And they started asking questions. And it seemed like every expedition we went on, there was more and more people that kept getting in who were interested in what we believed. And these were people from Germany and from Europe or different other parts of Europe. And it was just awesome how God had lined up those divine appointments. Because I had been slightly frustrated that we were here doing these touristy things when I was there to do, you know, strictly medical or aviation related things, when actually, you know, you can be a missionary wherever you're at, which is pretty neat. While there, we also did some other training. There, as David Gates and his film crew on there on the right, taping the next video that's going to come out, I think it's called No Regrets. And then the film crew, we also started teaching me how to use it. It was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun. And then flying. I also got to spend a little time with David himself, flying, doing some little airplane mechanics. And then before I knew it, it all came to an end. The airplane broke down. Fortunately, we weren't too far out in the middle of the jungle, and we were able to fly it back in. And I had to come back to the U.S. for a little while. But before I came back, Mike Durson, the director, asked me if I would be willing to join his team and work with the IRR team for I don't know how long. I'm guessing for the rest of my life. But as long as I can. And he said, well, if you're going to join us, you're going to need to get certified for the next year that you're here. I'm like, what do you mean by certified? He said, well, next year we're going to be doing deep water rescue training, and we need you to be our translator again. I was like, so what does that mean? It's like, that means that you need to get your scuba license before you come down next year. I'm like, are you serious? And he's like, yep. So I was like, wow. So lo and behold, I went over and I got an offer to come from one of the other disaster relief workers, happened to be a scuba instructor, and they said that we should come out to Florida, and they would give us 3 certifications instead of just the 1. We'd get the scuba certificate, the advanced open water certificate, and then then the nitrox rating as well, which allows you to stay down longer and be safer and whatnot. So I was just like, whoa, you know. So we went out there and spent about a week and a half of just scuba diving, like every single day. I think I was in the water more often than I was out. It was just awesome, getting to look around and learning. And so I'm looking forward to going and translating for them again. Yeah, it's sort of a big fish, quite a few hundred pounds. So that was neat. Then, of course, that came to an end very quickly, as you would expect. Oh yeah, and then I come here in Maine, it's so cold anyway. I went to Lincoln, Nebraska, and spent a little bit of time working with Clyde Peters. I was going to fly that airplane there, but it wasn't done yet. And after spending a few weeks there, we decided, you know what, it's better to go on. David invited me to come down to College Dale, Tennessee, and do some flight training there. He has a little Cessna 150 that he wanted me to fly. I was like, oh, that's cool. And so there are our flight training, and Bob came up as well, since the airplane is still down. Now, isn't that just a lovely little airplane? Studying some more airplane mechanics. That little airplane they call a grasshopper. It's got those little balloon tires on it that makes it like landing on a trampoline. It just keeps bouncing you back up in the air every time we try to land. It doesn't like landing. It wants to keep flying. It's a pretty fun plane. That's the plane I end up flying the whole time, though. It's good. Underpowered, but good. This is the rest of what the International Rescue and Relief Team does. We'll also be, after I'm done flying in Venezuela, or after I go down in January, I'll be going down this next January. We'll be coming up and doing some high angle rescue, advanced water rescue, confined space rescue, and then we'll also be doing some survival, like survival at sea and desert survival, and oh, they have a whole bunch more. This one here is firefighting, obviously, mountain rescue and low angle rescue, and I mean, just they train for everything. Anyway, it's a program that I very highly recommend. It's very awesome how God has been leading. I don't know how else to say it. God has been leading me, and I'm like no one. You know, I'm just a little guy who, you know, just graduated from academy. If God can do this much, if he can lead that much, if he can just open doors for me, he can do it for you guys. I mean, God is no favor. He doesn't favor one person over the other. All he asks is just for those who say, okay, I want to go, I want to advance, and I want to do something, you know, step out boldly and in faith for you. And then God will honor that. In fact, that's exactly what he's wanting us to do. And it's just so fulfilling when you do. I can't say that I've been perfect by any means, but God's just every time that I fall, he picks up. And then it's just, wow. And that's the point that I want you guys to remember, is that all we need to do is just put ourselves in a place where he can use us. So, anyway, thank you. How much time do we have left? Well, the slideshow is done. So, I think I condensed it down a lot more. Huh? Oh, you want to hear the kids singing? Sure, I can do that. The kids in the area, we can turn on the lights, I guess, for a little bit, just so I can see what I'm doing. The kids in that area absolutely love singing. It's unlike anything that I'd ever heard before. Most of the time, when you go to a Spanish or Latin country, they're not really all that wonderful of singers. But, you know, maybe I'm just used to Mexico. You know, I go down there and they're all like off tune and singing all high pitch or whatever. But these guys are just awesome. Where do I have it? I'm not even sure where I have it. Yeah, it is. You're right. Yeah, this will make a very interesting podcast, that's for sure. All right, let me get it hooked up. Plug it into the sound system here. Which one were you thinking of? Were you thinking the kids? All right. Yeah. That would be... There. Aha. Sorry about the delay. It's not supposed to take that long. Senet erendon da podru do mina goya dar kon tego inyaman. Al chimbe in lo que la ip oro to fai ko ano to kare ba to peya. Nyaro taure nyada inyamre non pe mondon kana ya pongonda. Yeah. While we're listening to that, I can go ahead and set up. I do have another report brought in from Venezuela. It's a short video. Song is pretty neat. It's talking about the prodigal son. Now, obviously, it's in Spanish. They're talking about the prodigal son and telling the story of how he left and then what he found, that it was empty and that he was lacking, and then how he came back and his father accepted him. It's pretty awesome. Found it. Now, if it finishes what it was thinking about, we should be able to see it.
Ama, aviación médico aventista, Evidence Medical Aviation. This morning I'd like to take you with us as we fly out to a village called Awarauca. After a 40-minute flight away from the savannah across the jungles, we come to the river Coroní. Along the river, on each side of the river, is the village of Huarauca. Today we're making several trips in with medical personnel from Union College IRR, International Rescue and Relief Program. The runway is short and very rough, like a lot in this area. I will not use the very beginning because it has humps that throw you back in the air, so we try to avoid that as we come in. We've called ahead by radio, and the villagers are expecting us. They give us a warm welcome, are happy that we've come. They have many sick people there. Within a few minutes, we have everybody unloaded and the luggage out. Then we're ready to start checking the plane over before we head back for the next load. On the return flight, I'll be stopping off at Ajakain, another little village, to pick up a lay worker and his wife that has been there for several weeks working. They've been waiting several days for me to stop by, be able to pick them up, take them back home. After I was on my way, they started forming a line, waiting to be treated by the doctors. One of the biggest problems in all these villages is lack of good drinking water. In a short time, everything's organized and set up, ready to start treating the patients. This village, like many others, has a lot of different skin problems. This man had cut himself badly with his machete. He was fortunate there was help there that day for him, and that I would be back soon and could fly him out to the hospital. Even though it was dry season, or supposedly it was dry season, it rained quite a bit while I was gone. Now the grass was wet and slick. The runway was rough and short, so I would want to start at the beginning of the runway. Even though there's humps that throw you back in the air, it'd give me more room to get stopped. As soon as I was stopped, the kids started running towards the plane, quickly shut it down. They like to come see what we have brought them. They like to look in the plane at all the instruments. They like to play around the plane and feel of it while I'm on the ground getting ready to go again. In just a few minutes, we have him loaded in the plane, have his few bags in the back, and his wife beside him, ready to go to Santa Elena, the hospital. I had planned another stop on the way back, but with patient on board, we'd be flying straight back. I'd have him to Santa Elena within 45 minutes. After easing over the bumps, down to the end of the strip, we're ready to take off, head back towards Santa Elena. After spending the night in Huanalca, they're ready to head out the next morning to another village called Arapichi. But before they headed up the river, they'd cross over to the other side. This village lies on both sides of the river, divided up about equally between each side. They'd treat a few more patients before they started heading up the river. There are 400 people that live in this village of Huaralca. 140 kids in school. Yes, they do have a little school there. In the last year, made 15 emergency medical flights out of this village. Three of them were snake bites. In this visit here to Ahuachalca, they were able to treat 72 people that needed help. It'd be a 3-hour trip up the river to the village of Aripichi. It is a rare thing for these villages to see a doctor. At this village of Aripichi, they were able to treat 71 patients while they were there. Just 2 days, 2 villages, 143 people treated. It is because of the plane, your prayers and support that keep it going, that we are able to get into these villages and treat people. After a long day of treating patients and spending a night there in the village with them, they were ready the next morning for the dugout to come by and pick them up.
That little boy there, that was his skin,
to the pickup point,
he didn't have any pigment there, and so that he got a bad sunburn.
Your prayers are much appreciated, and if you'd like to send a donation to help keep the plane in the air, you can send it through Gospel Ministries International. Just mark it.
And that's where it ends. Oh, that was shorter than I thought. Yeah, God has been doing a lot of work down there. I don't know that he's made a video yet about the more recent occurrings of with the general coming and wanting to shut it down and everything. But that's the one I do have. All right, that's what I have now. So anyway. Amen. All right, I guess we'll have our closing hymn now.
Thank you.
Dear Father in Heaven, dear Lord, I'd like to thank you that each one of us can be here today and that you have spoken. Father, I pray that it would have been you, not me, that was heard today. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to give us wisdom as to what to do, give us clarity of mind. Time is short now. Let this be the battle that will finish all suffering forever. Thank you for your power and the power you have. Please bless us now as we go on. In your name, amen.